Good morning, everyone. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. And today, it's my privilege to be here to share the Thanksgiving message with you today. Thank you, Pastor Vincent, for inviting me to come and to speak. So today, I want to ask you a question. How many of you know why is it that we celebrate Thanksgiving on a different day than the Americans? Does anybody know? No. Okay, good. Then I can tell you the answer. I also was curious. I was wondering, hey, why is it that Canadians celebrate in October and Americans celebrate in November? Well, this is the history behind the holiday of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving was originally a feast of thanks that was to thank God for the abundant harvest. It was also, but now it has become a holiday that gives thanks for many blessings. Canada has actually been celebrating Thanksgiving longer than the Americans. We started celebrating Thanksgiving in 1578 in Newfoundland when the explorer Martin Frobisher held a ceremony of gratitude for surviving the journey from Europe. The Americans only started celebrating Thanksgiving in 1621, which was 43 years later from the time that we started celebrating. And did you guys know that the date of Thanksgiving kept shifting? It kept shifting from November, Thursday in November, to Remembrance Day, to Monday in October. And finally, in 1957, the Canadian Parliament finally fixed the day to be on the second Monday of October. So now you know, okay? The official day to celebrate Thanksgiving is tomorrow, the second Monday of October. As Sam just mentioned to us, the Israelites had a lot to thank God for. After 70 years of being in captivity and being in exile, they were finally free to go back to Jerusalem. But unfortunately, they found that their temple and their city was in ruins. And Nehemiah was greatly disturbed by this. He asked the king for permission to rebuild the wall. Nehemiah got all the supplies that he needed, but it was not an easy task. He faced lots of opposition in building this wall. There was even a point where he needed to, the people who were building the wall, one hand they needed to carry the spear, a weapon to protect themselves. The other hand, they were building the wall at the same time. The enemies accused them of starting a revolt, building the wall to start a revolt. But these were all false allegations. But God is faithful. God helped them through every trial that they faced. The wall was rebuilt after 52 days, and now they had a wall to protect them against their enemies. After the wall was rebuilt, God started doing a work in his life. If you read through the book of Nehemiah, you know God does an internal work in people's hearts. And so he begins to do an internal work in his life in chapters 8 to 10. What does he do? He starts to get them to be recommitted to the law and to upholding the law. Second of all, he helps them to make a corporate separation and confession to live separate from foreigners, which were kind of worshiping other gods. And the third thing was a recommitment to providing for the needs of the Levites in the house of the Lord. These were things that God was starting to do in their life internally to draw them closer to God before they re-entered into Jerusalem, the holy city. So this dedication was more important than just external celebration. It was also an internal celebration to thank God for what he was doing in their lives internally. So let's take a look at some of the people that were invited to this celebration. Okay, so we have the, here are some of the guests who are invited to the guest list. We have the priests, we have the musicians, we have the choir members, we have Ezra and Nehemiah, we have the children and the woman in Jerusalem. We also have the men in charge of the storerooms, and of course, the people, the Israelites. So they celebrated in great style. Through the music and the songs and the sacrifices, they started to worship God and to celebrate what God had done. Nehemiah, what he did is he started to assemble two big, large choirs from different towns around Jerusalem. And these singers came to all worship God together. They were separated into two choirs. And in the two choirs, one would worship on the northern side of the wall, the other would worship on the southern side of the wall. And they were accompanied by many different instruments and many different musicians, such as cymbals and harps and lyres and even trumpet players. This was a huge celebration of praise. If you can just imagine an amazing worship service where it's singing, just singing everywhere, then you can just imagine what it must have been like for the Israelites on that specific day. And what were they singing? They were singing songs of thanksgiving to their Lord. It says in the Bible, in verse 42, that they sang so loud that the surrounding cities could hear them. This was so important because David had set up this system so that they would be able to celebrate these special occasions together. And so that's why he set up all these musicians and everything, so that they would have a system to celebrate and to rejoice and to thank God for his blessings. So why was it important for them to dedicate the wall? Oh, is everything okay, Matt? Yeah, okay. The reason why it was important for them to dedicate the wall was because it was setting apart that wall for God's purposes. Many years ago, did you guys know that we dedicated this building to God? Does anybody know what year and what day we dedicated this building to God? Who looked at the plaque? Who has ever looked at the plaque outside our church? Yes. Very close. Okay, November 15th, 1997. Okay, so that was the day we actually dedicated this building to the Lord. Okay, so just in case you wanted to know, random fact. Okay, so that was the reason for that was because we wanted to set this church apart for God's service, God's purpose, to glorify God in this building. Okay, through our worship, through our actions, through our service. So that's something that we can definitely rejoice to God for. And as you guys know, many of us were here for the 30th anniversary, right? I know some of you are students, maybe you were not here, but we celebrated our 30th anniversary at NCAC. Can I see a show of hands who has been here for 30 years? Anybody? Ooh, we have two people, three people. Wow, oh, four. Some don't want to admit it. They've been here for 30 years. Well, that's a show of God's faithfulness, isn't it? That we've had some members, even in our English congregation, who have been here for 30 years, and they're still here, okay? And hopefully they will remain here until they go see Jesus again, okay? So so that's a great sign of God's faithfulness and his blessings to us. And another thing is, how did they celebrate? They celebrated with lots of joy. They celebrated with a joyful heart. Now, this is something that I wonder, when we worship God, do we worship God with a very joyful heart? Would many of us say yes, for sure? Or many of us like, I just come because I'm supposed to come on Sundays. But I have no joy in my heart, okay? What is it? What is your attitude when you come to church on Sundays? Do you feel that joy that God gives to you? And do you worship God with that joy that God gives? Well, the Israelites at this time had a lot to celebrate, so their joy was overflowing. It says in verse 27, it says that the Levites celebrated joyfully. And in verse 73, it says that they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because God had given them great joy. The women and the children rejoiced, and the sound of rejoicing could be heard far away. So it's not only the joy affecting them inside, but it was a joy that was being spread to other towns as well, that it could be heard from far away. This is what joy comes from: a grateful heart. Our joy comes from what God has done in our lives. Our joy comes from the Holy Spirit. That is, joy is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And they had so much to thank God for. God had brought them through lots of trials. God had strengthened their faith. God had given them the perseverance to finish this wall. He had done all these things for them, and that's why they came together to give thanks for these things. Did you know that joy and happiness are two different things? Joy is not related to circumstance, but happiness tends to be about whether your circumstances are favorable or not. Happiness can come and go, but joy remains in you, even when things are not going well. Happiness, you can imagine, is like a roller coaster. When things are going well, then your mood is really high and happy. Okay? When things are not going well in your life, then perhaps your mood is really sad and depressed. So your happiness is really dependent on what is happening in your life. But joy comes from the Lord. Joy comes regardless of whether things are going well or not going well in our life. And joy is based on God's character, not based on what we're going through. We can praise God regardless of our situation. We can praise God because His love endures forever. We can praise God because God is faithful. He never changes. His word endures forever. Someone asked a pastor one time, he said, what is the best way to praise God? What's the best time to praise God? Is it when you feel like it or when you don't? And so the pastor answered him this way. He said, when you feel like it and when you don't feel like it. Praising God is not about us. It's making a choice to be joyful regardless of what is happening. It's taking our minds away from ourselves and our problems and focusing on God, who is worthy of all our worship. And it doesn't allow the circumstances in our life to silence our praise. If you like music, you'll find that there are many worship songs that talk about this. There are two that come to my mind when I think about what does it mean to praise God in the midst of the storm. You guys can YouTube it at home so that you can listen to it and listen to the lyrics and what is it really trying to say, okay? So one of the songs is called I Never Lost My Praise, okay? The second song is called By Casting Crowns. It's called I Will Praise You in the Storm. And so a lot of times we have this dilemma. We kind of think to ourselves, we'll praise God when we're happy, okay? And when we're not happy, we won't praise God. But God wants us to praise Him all the time. It's not about what is going on in our life, okay? It's about being faithful to praise God as a command, because God is worthy of our worship at all times. So what could be the things that are stealing away our joy? What are the joy killers that are stealing away our desire to worship God? They could be things like holding a grudge against somebody. Could be about gossiping. It could be that maybe you don't feel right in your relationship with God. It could be maybe you're holding bitterness towards someone and that's growing inside of you. It could be that you are dwelling on past failures or not spending enough time with God. Maybe worries and anxieties are overcoming you and overwhelming you and squashing your joy and stealing away your joy from you. But God's character never changes. Worship and praise is about God, and it's not self-centered, but it's God-centered. If you need help to worship God, you say, hey, I have nothing I can praise God about. There's nothing in my life that is good. Everything in my life is terrible. If you need help, there in the Psalms, there are many Psalms that help us to praise God. Because God, there's so many things that God has done for our life, ourselves that give us that heart to worship Him. One thing is the fact that you are here and that you are breathing. Does everybody want to check your pulse, make sure you're breathing? Yes, I believe everybody who made it to church here is breathing, okay? Psalm 150 says, let everyone who has breath praise the Lord, okay? So can we all say that together? Let everyone who has breath praise the Lord. Okay, ready? One, two, three. Okay, let's try again. That sounded very, very sad. Let's try again. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. One more time. Let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. Good. All right. So praising God is an attitude. Praising God is a lifestyle. Okay. And even if we're breathing, we can praise the Lord. Okay. So that's even the minimum requirement is that we're breathing. Thank God. You know. So that's great. So we know that, going back to our passage again, we were talking about the Israelites. They celebrated with such joy, okay? Because God had done amazing work in their life. He had also, they used their musical gifts to also praise God. And the final way that they praised God was by giving their portion to the temple for the gatekeepers and the musicians. Why was it important for them to give? Because it was their fiscal responsibility to the Levites in the temple. So the Levites, here are some of the roles of a Levite from the Old Testament. You'll see that the Levites dedicated themselves to God's work. They would offer sacrifices on behalf of the people. They did not own land, okay, which most of the other tribes were able to own land so they could grow their own crops. They were exempted from military service. They usually used the musicians and the trumpet players in the temple. They were the spiritual teachers. They were the ones who took down the tabernacle and set it up when the tabernacle moved to different places. And because they did not own the land, they were fully dependent upon the people to provide for their needs. So the people would provide in two different ways. They would provide through food offerings and also through tithing. So when the Israelites gave, what they do is they would set aside the tenth of their first fruit of the crops so that they would be given to the musicians and the gatekeepers of the temple. And then it would be passed down to the priests and also to the line of Aaron. And how often did they give? They gave once a year. And even today, God wants us to be cheerful givers. Although our congregation is young, we also have a responsibility to give and to tithe. Tithing and giving is not just about money. Okay, God doesn't really need our money. He's not a panhandler. But God wants us to demonstrate our trust that God can provide for us. In the Old Testament, as I mentioned, God asked us to give a tenth. So let me ask, anybody receive an allowance here? If you're younger and not working yet, anybody receive an allowance? All right, praise God. Okay, that means you have the capacity to give, okay? Any of you working here? Okay, praise God, you have the capacity to give, okay? So, God has given us all the capacity to give, but are we faithful when it comes to our tithing, okay? The Levites needed to depend fully on the gifts that came from the Israelites, okay? Otherwise, they'd have no food, okay? And their needs would not be able to be met. Even today, church organizations, parachurch organizations, also depend on the support of gracious people like you. Tithing is more than just a physical act. It is also a spiritual act, and it is it's also an act of faith. I read this blog by this guy named Michael, and he describes why he tithes and why does he give back to the Lord. Michael says that he tithes because, number one, he believes that God will provide for him, even when he does not have enough. Michael tithes because he believes that God can be trusted and that God is loving and wise. And Michael tithes because he wants to help further God's kingdom and to make his life more comfortable, rather than make his life more comfortable with the latest gadgets and things. Some of you might say, oh, I'm not that good at remembering to give every week, or I'm not that good at remembering to give every month. It's not about the technicality of when you give, but it's the attitude of how you give. If you are motivated to give, let's say, to an organization or to a cause or a need, that is also a form of giving. You can give to what's happening in Hurricane Matthew in Haiti. You could give to the refugee crisis. You can give to the missions missions donation to help us to meet our target goal. These are all different ways that we can give our portion back to God, and we can be faithful in our giving. Food offerings are another way that we can that are welcome for people who are in ministry too. You guys all know Catherine Chan, right? She's part of our congregation. She did something very sweet this week. She didn't know I was preaching about this, but what she did is she made a homemade apple pear pie. Okay, and she left it for the pastors and for Shirley in the fridge. You know, she's a very sweet lady. And she said, oh, this is your Thanksgiving gift to you because you work so hard. Thank you for all your hard work. And so this was her way of giving back to those who serve in ministry full time. She blessed us with a delicious apple pear pie. And if you guys know Catherine, you know she cooks very well. Okay, so it was quite a blessing. But let's say you don't know how to cook or cooking is not your thing. You can bless people in ministry in other ways. Okay, you can bless people by, I don't know, paying for a meal or paying for their dinner or paying for coffee or something like that. Okay, these are other ways that we can bless those that serve God full time. So just to recap again, what did the Israelites have to be thankful for? God had helped them to rebuild the wall. He had also been doing an internal work in their life. And how did they give thanks to God? Through their music and their songs, and by having a joyful heart. And also by giving their portion back to the temple. So this Thanksgiving, I want us to really think about what is it that God has done in our life, and to express those thanksgiving with action. We know that there are needs everywhere, and we realize that not everyone has the capacity to give all the time. But even through our small gifts, just like the widow who gave her 2 coins, we can give something. Even if it's just a little bit, we can give a little bit to God. It's more about the attitude towards giving than the actual amount. And remember, God doesn't need our money. It's a matter of us being faithful and taking steps of faith to be a faithful giver. Let's pray. Thank you, God, that we had this time to give you thanks today as a congregation. We're thankful that we had the blessing of blessing each other and ministering to each other. And Lord, we know the amazing things that you've done on the cross for us. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for your love for us. We want to thank you that without you, Lord, we would not be where we are at now. We just want to pray, God, that if we are struggling with having joy in our life, there are things that are hindering us from really expressing our joy to the Lord. We pray that you would be removing those things, God, and help us to praise you regardless of whether we feel like it or not, whether we have a good voice or not, because you are God who is worthy of all our worship. You are God who inhabits the praises of your people. And so, Lord, we want to be obedient to you. We want to praise you because of who you are, not what we're going through. So, God, help us to be faithful in this way, God. And, Lord, as we know, there are many needs in the world. There are many needs in NCAC, many needs that we could be giving to. I pray, Father, that you would help us to know how to be faithful in our giving and to stretch ourselves to have faith in you, even when things are tight. And to give faithfully to your kingdom, God, so your kingdom can be furthered. So, Lord, help us to enjoy our Thanksgiving weekend. Help us to always remember and count our blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.